Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a new week. Monday morning is always a kickoff time. This is going to be a great program today because I had a lot of time, a lot of effort getting here, a lot of resistance. The Lord's got a good word. The old enemy tries to buffoon us, but we are better than that. Amen. Okay, well, we're on the roll. This is George Watkins, and we're back on the trail, hot on the trail of God's goodness, and searching out the good things of the Lord and the purposes of God for our life. That's what it's all about every day. Lord, what you doing today, Father? I want to go along. I want to play with you. I want to watch you work and then copy of everything you're doing. We are copycats. Isn't that something? What we see the Father do, we do. Well, that's the way it is when we go into a public service. If you have ever led a public service, if you're a pastor, evangelist, coordinator of any kind in a service where you're depending on the Holy Spirit, not just a bulletin, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, then you go home. You have to know that the Father now has shifted, and there's another thing you got to go into. When I preach, I have notes. I follow them very little, unless it's at Bible school where the students are following, then I'm kind of stuck. I got to stay close to that. But in a normal delivery of a word for the night, there comes a time when it shifts and God says, you've said enough. Call in the altar, you know, the altar call, or call them forward, or prophesy, or send them home. Do something, because it's over, or it's shifted into the anointing for healing, or the baptism, the overflow of the baptism, or any kind of call that would harvest that seed you planted in their hearts. Okay, well, we're not talking about that today. We're talking about the gift that was given to purchase you is the determining value of you and I. Think about it for a bit. The worth that we are is set by the gift that he has given. Now, you and I both know, if you're a church person or been around church much, that God so loved the world. I love John 3:16, probably quoted it 10 times more than any other verse. It's a foundational thing to us, isn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's the mirror Bible. The entire cosmos is the object of God's affection, and he is not about to abandon his creation. The gift of his Son is for humanity to realize their origin in him, who mirrors their authentic birth, begotten not of flesh, but of the Father. In this persuasion, the life of the ages echoes within the individual and announces that the days of regret and sense of lostness are over. Oh, not going to read that again. It's a lengthy one, but I wanted you to hear it. God so loved the world that he gave. Now, what did he give? He gave his Son. Now, the King James says the only begotten, but the other translations indicate that it's the one that was begotten by the Father. Begotten by the Father. All right. Now, there must be a difference, because there's a different translation. But what it does, it emphasizes the fact that Jesus was given to us by the Father. Now, the first chapter of John is in the 14th verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, as of the only begotten Son of God. Depression, intimidation, a lack of self-worth, hesitation, hiding in the closet, hiding in the house, tucking the head, not looking people in the face. All those things are telltale signs of the fact that you don't think you're worth much. Or a person doesn't think they're worth much. You see, in some nations, they can always tell an American, they tell us at least, they can tell an American in another country because we hold our head up and we look people in the eye. And we are somewhat in control of our atmosphere because we're going somewhere or we're on a trail. The enslaved nations that have been under slavery, communism, socialism, dictatorship, they walk with their head down, they're hunched over, they don't look people in the face because it might be an official officer that would arrest them for something. That is the slave mentality. So we get into a church or a teaching center that emphasizes the fact that you're a sinner saved by grace and you're just an old worm and you're lucky God loves you and watch out and he may not love you tomorrow. And when you wake up in the morning, you wonder if you're still loved by God. That leaks out in theology that doesn't understand the price God paid for you and I. Now, the reason he paid such a high price is because we are of high value. Say, for instance, there's something in the Hawk shop that you want to purchase. It was your mother's necklace. Whoa, that means something to you more than anything else. So you go in there and the price is exorbitant. It's way out of sight. But because you want that back so bad, you go home, you take a bank loan, you refinance the house, whatever it takes, I'm going to get that necklace back in my possession because it's my inheritance. Well, what do you think about God? The Son of his love, the glory that was on him, was stripped away, and he took on himself the form of you and I. He became like us so he could die like us so that we would be identified with that death and he could then redeem us back in the resurrection because we were raised with him in the glory of the Spirit of life. And then we ascended to the Father with him and are seated at the right hand of God the Father. Take a snapshot of Philippians 2 and 6. Let me read that for you out of the Amplified. 2 and 6. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness is the Amplified, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was the thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, in that he became like man and was born a human being. That is the virgin birth. That is the conception of the Holy Spirit. That is the DNA of the Father in the womb of Mary. The blood comes, the DNA comes from the blood of the male, and the Father in heaven was the male sperm. That's why we have heaven flowing through us, folks, because we have been conceived by the Holy Spirit and have been born again unto and into a new creature. We are new creatures in Christ. So slap your face and get rid of that inferiority, because you are priceless. All right, look at Matthew 13, 45 and 46. Now he's listing the kingdom of God parables and stories. And there's two of them that are really neat. 44 is the field. A man goes out and sees, finds a treasure in the field. Now here it is. The field is the world. The treasure is the human race. Not just me and you, the human race. I want you to remember, and we've brought this up a couple times lately, I want you to remember that God so loved the cosmos. That's everything he created. He loves everything. I was tooling around last night looking at some video on the universe, and they've got a Voyager 2 that has broken out past all the limits. 40 years, and it's still functioning and showing pictures and taking temperatures. It's just an incredible thing. But as I watch it, I mean, this thing's out there 40 billion miles or something. It's way out there. I thought, how great, how big, how enormous our God is. And yet in that simple scripture, in John 3:16, for God so loved the cosmos, not just the world, all this gritty stuff that goes on the blue planet. No, he loves everything he created. Now, that's big stuff. That's big love. But listen to this. He finds a treasure in the field. He finds the human race on the blue planet, and he loves it so much that in 44, the man goes and sells all that he has to buy the field. God sent the glory of heaven. God sent the Son of his love. God stripped his whole region of the loved one of his life, of his spirit, and sent it down here and paid for your redemption. That means you're pretty valuable. Now, the second one is the pearl. The pearl. He said this man found a pearl and did the same thing. Goes out, sells all he has, comes back and buys the pearl. That's the hawkshaw. When there's a valuable thing, you and I are so valuable in the sight of the Father that he gave his only begotten Son to redeem you back to himself. Wow, I'm feeling pretty good today. Now, pride is misunderstood. You know, a pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit. We know that. We've been preached. I mean, we got the long bony finger of the preacher pointing at us and don't you have pride because God hates the pride. Okay, proud. Pride is different than self-respect and self-worth. Now, I'm proud of my Heavenly Father. I'm proud of the fact that he has created in me new life. I'm proud of myself because he has made me in his image. I'm proud of the fact that I have gifts. That's a pride that we hold dear to us. We sense the worth of it. We feel the glory of it. Now, self-worth is something that only God can give. Self-worth is only something God can give. I encourage you today to have self-worth. I encourage you on this Monday to know the value that God has given you. I encourage you to know the love that he has given so that you can be loved. Isn't that amazing? You and I are byproducts of God's stripping heaven of his glory and giving it to his Son, and reproducing that glory in the Holy Spirit's descension into us. And we now contain the glory of God in the form of the Holy Spirit. How about that? You're ready to live that way this Monday? I am. Okay, well, go. Thank you for tuning in today. And I thank you for subscribing. And also I thank you for your giving financially. It's a great blessing to us. Until tomorrow at this same time, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. and may his entire face be right in your face, transferring glory into you every day of your life.